irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd. The year is 2017. If you just came back from space, we're trying to sort of
like... It could be possible.
Yeah. We're trying to keep you updated, folks. So we're here for everybody.
We are. The
Even
space
if you
travelers
come back from
as well.
Mars,
yeah.
The year is 2017.
Yes.
We don't know if it's going to be a good year or not, but we're hoping it will be.
Starting off pretty poor. There's been some shots at the parliament today.
Yes, right? And we do need some help from God, who we're going to talk about today. People love talking about God and all that kind of stuff.
It's religion, a fascinating, right? Controversial subject.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about everything God today. So that'll be cool. We have a guest sitting by who has made a film. And but what's going on in London?
So the reports so far that we have confirmed is that a car on Westminster Bridge rammed, specifically zigzagging through people on the street, killing, we think, one woman and injuring right. dozens. And then a man got out of that car with a knife and ran and stabbed a police officer right near Parliament. So
right,
he ran
right.
to go into Parliament. And at that point, he was shot and killed. So
yeah.
They're calling it a terrorist attack.
But they don't know yet, right?
Everyone's on lockdown, including right. people on the London Eye, the Ferris wheel,
oh,
who have
really?
Been trapped the whole time.
Oh my
so
God.
So they don't know if it's continuing. The Scotland Yard just put out a release and said, we want you to stay vigilant. If you have film of this, we want you to call immediately. And if you see anything, we want you to call 999 right away.
Right.
So it's crazy. It's they're thinking it's very low level in terms of the there was no guns. This guy didn't have any gun,
right?
Apparently, so it's a low level thing. But these are the ones that sort of work the most usually when you have those just ram your car. You see it in Paris. You've seen it in
right Canada.
Yeah, it's been everywhere. So this is the Prime Minister is back at 10 Downing, but people are worried it's not finished. So this is also the 1 year anniversary of the Brussels attack. So it's you never know, but you got to be really vigilant. So that's just keep updating. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, yeah. We'll find out more. It's interesting that people in London use knives to kill because you can't really carry guns there, right?
Well, the officers aren't armed except for right. when stuff like this happens and they send out armed officers.
Right,
there are
SWAT
armed officers
teams.
At the parliament, there are armed officers.
Right.
So that's what happened. But you're right. They have a very, very, very... way less guns, way fewer guns. I don't know how to say that
right.
correctly, but this has happened before with a knife at Parliament,
yeah.
with a machete.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is it's just interesting because for Americans, the first thought was a knife. That's crazy.
Right.
But that's sort
but
of
it's happened before yeah. in London too.
And they don't, you don't see armed guards in London really. You see, they do not have guns.
Right.
So it's just
right.
totally different.
I know.
So scary
know.
Day for London.
I wonder
We're
if
thinking
that
about
works
them.
Or not. I mean, being without guns.
You have way fewer gun deaths.
Yeah, but maybe, I guess they don't have more police deaths though, do they?
No, they have fewer deaths in gun.
In
they
general?
Have like thousands fewer than we do.
Yeah.
Every country with better gun
control
is fewer,
imagine
fewer, fewer.
Us having cops without guns here?
Well, that's because we love guns in America. Everyone
yeah.
loves guns.
Okay, so we
they
have
don't
guns.
Love guns.
Yeah, so you
and
have
they don't
to
have
adjust
gun
to
violence.
The people.
They don't have gun violence.
Yeah,
so that might be a thing to learn.
Exactly. But you don't want to be stupid and have no guns when the criminals do, It just doesn't make sense.
We just want to start regulating criminals. That's what I think.
Yeah, be. Right.
Might be a good idea,
good
but we'll
luck,
see.
Right?
I know. That's a whole other issue. Yeah. The other thing is we learned Trump is under investigation with Russia and they're in snow wiretapping. And now Gorsuch is being in. If you guys want to watch the confirmation hearings of Gorsuch, it's fascinating because Al Franken, the comedian from SNL.
I saw that.
He has been hilarious. And
him.
He goes, I've lived and worked my whole life in absurdity. And I know it when I see it. And specifically, he brings up the frozen trucker case and why he dissented in this. And he goes through the whole case. And if you have a moment, look up the frozen trucker case with Al Franken. And he goes through it like a normal human being.
Right.
A guy's cold. He's in his truck. You can follow it all. And in the whole time, Gorsuch starts reaching for his water and he's drinking it slowly and shaking. I mean, he looks, it's bad. So he's just trying to get his, so Al Franken's the star of this one.
Yeah,
so
I noticed that.
Very fascinating.
It's so funny to see him though, because you still remember him as the funny
Stuart
guy from Smiley. SNL.
Oh yeah. I know Franken. I met Franken. He's like very, very funny, but very politically oriented.
Yeah, you know, he's been there a long time.
Yeah.
What, 20 years or something?
Yeah, and like his whole family is, you know, he has DC connections everywhere. I mean, he's very well informed, but if you had to pick a guy that could go against, and I'm saying this, and I'm not saying this is what we should do. I'm saying if you had to pick a guy to go against the new pop culture celebrity politician,
right,
you go with Al Franken.
Yeah, right.
He would kill in a debate because he's funny as hell and no one dislikes a funny guy.
Right.
You're a hardcore Republican. Don't take my guns. He's still going to laugh.
Right. And we do like the celebrities, like you've said.
That's what I'm saying. It's because if we have to do that, it's either Oprah or it's Al Franken. And I'm fine with either, to be honest.
I guess you would. Yeah.
Love that.
Well,
Oprah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yesterday. Do you want to tell us what you did yesterday?
Oh, yeah. So yesterday was my big shoot, you guys. My show is airing on the 29th. It's not long. It's not a long show, but it's an exciting show. It's all my words. I got paid real money to write my own words.
Oh.
Full set. And it's a life hack show. And it's just really cute. And it's for like moms and families. It's on Kin channel on YouTube, KIN.
Okay.
And it's the number one family channel on YouTube. And so, I'll let you guys all know when it comes out. But it was really exciting to have, like, coffee had been set up before I got there. Like, was amazing. You know what I mean? Food was there. Bagels, donuts. Like, there was crafts. Lunch had been ordered. Like, this was amazing for me. This was a high point.
Now you know where all the movie budgets and TV budgets
so
are
So much
wasted,
food. It was
right?
So good. But, you know, and the makeup artist was in it. And it just felt really, there was people there, like, reading my script and going over it. And it was like,
it felt important for crying out loud.
Yeah, and I
right?
felt like it was my baby kind of. And I got it from doing my own Tipsy Tori on a whim on YouTube from self-generating to have something to have. And I literally network it and sent out emails to people every time. And she happened to be on that email.
Oh.
So you got to know that, like, you don't, that girl, I worked with her 6 years ago, this producer.
Uh-huh.
So you got to know, I still had her on that email. Well, you don't give up, man.
That's true, right?
Bulldog.
So what do you do? Like mass mailing to producers?
Not mass mailing. I'll do it about 22 people that I have that I like that are big fans. The whole thing I do is like try and make fans of whoever you work with because they'll rehire you.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Happen often, but it does happen. And if this gets enough views, we're going to have it go on and on and on. So it's really exciting.
That's very nice.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we wish you the best.
Thank you.
Keep promoting it.
I
so
will.
We can have
Thank
a lot
you,
of
Sam.
Views
I appreciate that.
Of course.
And I think I looked really pretty in my Instagram pictures. So and skinny.
Well, I haven't seen them yet.
They look really pretty.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, so go take I Am Tori Show and go ahead. Take a look.
Good. Tori at her best. There
yeah.
you go.
I did. My makeup artist is phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah. She's <That's> wonderful.
So nice. So a life hacking show, what's that about?
So for instance, I don't want to give too many away, but we do different sections. So each week is a different thing. So the first week is going to be entertaining, and there's little hacks you can do. If you've leftover bottles of wine at the end of a party, what you can do with that.
Oh, okay. That kind of
like
stuff.
Really
okay.
cute things. If you don't have a cheese board, cutting board, but you want to put out something nice, what you can use. If something gets stuck in the wall and there's a nail, what can you use to cover it without, you know, it's really cute.
Oh, wow.
And it's all my writing. So, like, it's I think it's funny. Oh, God. I've set it up too much. It should be funny. It's very quick. It should be, like, 5 minutes or less. And it's, like, adorable. And it should just be me being, like, goofy. And they have the cameras rolling the whole time because I want there to be outtakes and bloopers. And
right.
I want that kind of feeling. You know what I mean?
That's cool. So it's centered around you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just me.
Oh, it's just you.
Oh, it's just
no
me.
Other character?
No, no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just a little hosting show
so
that
I created.
So you have
to carry it on your own.
Oh, that's what I'm good at. I'm not good at anything else, literally. Can't do anything else but eat,
well,
drink, and do that.
That's
Thank
very
you.
Cool.
Thank you.
So, we have a big star, you know, so don't forget us minions when you become so big.
I'll let you know.
Kelly Ripa.
That's the goal. Hashtag Kelly Ripa.
Wow. So, a couple of things real quick. I guess we talked about London. Sears has substantial doubt that it can survive.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Come on.
We've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Kmart and Macy's.
Why are they still going?
I know. Sears is so, like, last two centuries ago.
God, I just, it's, it feels like the Wells Fargo wagon. It feels like back then.
I know.
It's so old, and I never want to ever go into a Sears. One of my friends who's a comic works at Sears, and his jokes kill, because he starts off saying, I work at Sears, and people are like, we're already on board. Hilarious. It's just a tumbleweeds are going through the stores. No one's in them.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is how things change so much, you know, because they were the first mail order house,
I guess. You could order a house off of Sears Roebuck. Oh, yeah. The catalog, yeah.
That's true.
They couldn't have been bigger.
Yeah, and you could buy through their catalog, like you said. They would send out catalogs and stuff. It was the hottest place. And then Woolworth and all these other department stores opened.
Sure.
So, like, the turn of the century is when this was hot. And then I remember when I came here in the 70s, all these stores were hot as well in the malls,
sure,
you know, like
sure.
Like Sears and Woolworths and what else was there, like Grand Central and whatever. I lived in Vegas at the time, so they had some local ones, but and Kmart and all these. So, but these are so old school, you know. These
are
Amazon has killed everybody.
It's like
much.
If IKEA went out of business, it's like that would be big for us, you know. It's like that kind of catalog and store is huge.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
But you can never imagine that they would, but they probably will one day. You know, people will have had enough of
this stuff. I follow, this is so weird, I follow Melanie Griffith on Instagram. I don't know. It's a long story. Whatever. But she just posted in Aspen, she was going to the airport, they have virtual assistants in the Aspen airport.
Really?
So a hologram appears, and it's a woman in an outfit, and she's like, hi there, how can I help you? You can say anything. She's got a little clipboard. I don't know why. She's not real. What's she reading? What's she fucking reading? Anyway, and you can ask what to do, and she'll point your way, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow.
That's when IKEA goes. I mean, that's when things get cray-cray.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Jesus.
All right, then, and we're going to get to our guest. I can't wait, but I guess they're connecting some rare cancer deaths to breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
All I have to say is you put shit in your body, what do you expect, you know? I mean, this is like foreign objects.
Hey, nicotine. What are you going to do?
That's true, but I'm not complaining.
You're absolutely right. That's a fair call. That's a valid call, people. He does not complain. That's true. You're right.
In other words, I know the risks,
absolutely.
Right?
And I think we didn't know the risks on these boob things. I feel so bad because now boob implants aren't, like, it's like Sears a little bit. Like, I don't know.
Right?
If they're super obvious, I mean.
Right.
They're not, like, as in fashion. The trendy thing is just to be a bit more natural,
I think.
That's
true. And
so
women
all those
don't
poor people.
That.
Yeah, I feel bad.
Women don't realize that. You know, we were on the elevator yesterday, and one woman, we were talking about this. There were a couple of women, and
that elevator gets so
talking,
much action.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So they were talking about a woman who was, like, flat or something, you know, and we were talking about this, and she's like, and he's a boob man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if he's a boob man, then he likes any size boobs, you know, because.
Are you becoming a little bit of a feminist?
No, thing? That's not it. I'm just going into semantics here.
I feel you.
And I'm saying, you know, so what I want women to understand, when someone's a boob man, they like any size boobs. If he likes only big ones, then he's a big boob fan.
Or he's a boob guy.
Exactly.
So
like
if you're a boob guy,
one.
It's any boob. If you're a boob guy, you're like that fetish guy or weird guy.
That's true, yeah. Not fetish, you know.
No, boobs are great. Boobs are fantastically fun.
Boobs are awesome.
I got to tell you, my boobs have helped me in a lot of ways.
They've opened doors for you?
Yeah, and they're beautiful and natural and spectacular. And because of that, I'm not saying I use them, but it's a topic of conversation. It's funny.
Good.
But that's because I'm a stand-up and I can be like, I can say shit like that.
That's true.
It's not like you can go to a lawyer.
Try going up
and be
on
like,
the stage braless and you'll see.
See a lot of those.
Yeah, sure.
No, yeah.
You know, I mean, anything to, you know, some people will do anything to get attention. Obviously, you want to get...
You don't want to go there, but you want to make,
right.
You want to at least acknowledge, like, so what's interesting, when I was on Reels channel and doing really well in 2007 to 2010, if you looked up my name, cleavage would come up first.
Really?
Without putting even the C, it would be like Tori SH. And so when my husband told his dad about me, he like Googled me and like cleavage came up.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, what kind of like person is this? Someone made like a cleavage video and I was totally honored.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, make as much money as you can off your boobs without having to reveal
it. It's good
them,
genetics.
You know?
I love my grandmother, Evelyn. Thank you.
There
she
you go.
Great boobs.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to be jealous of your husband now, so don't tease.
Sorry. Hey, I think all boobs are cool. I think they all are nice.
They are. You know, some are not as great as others, but okay.
Boobs serve a great function.
They serve a great function.
Hallelujah.
Mainly burying your face between them.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Hashtag classy with a capital K.
All right. Well, we've abused our guest enough here. We're going to bring him on right now. We're joined by Michael Langer. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, get close to the mic. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Of course.
Thanks a lot.
Of course. So we've been feeding you a lot of news here, but now we're going to get to you. You're a film producer. Right, you're a writer, you're a director,
writer,
you
director
do everything.
And producer, yeah.
Wow. Right. Are you?
When nobody wants to work with you, you have to do everything. So.
Right. Now, do you live in L.A. or are you visiting
us?
No,
I actually live in Brazil.
Oh, you live in Brazil. So is that where you grew up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I just decided to do a movie about this very controversial subject, which is atheism.
Uh-huh.
And to do that, I decided I had to go where shit's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
This
mm-hmm.
is the place. So the film is being shot in the U.S. And U.S. is going to be like the reference for it. So Brazil is not even I mean, we talk about Brazil very briefly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But what we usually do is we focus on what's going on here and then compare the situation here with other countries mm-hmm. that are.
Right.
Some of them are better off and some of them are very worst. Like, you know, some Muslim theocracies
where right,
you get sentenced to death just for being an atheist. But at the same time, you can look at countries like England and Norway. Where things are a lot better.
P.S. Norway was just listed the happiest country again.
Right.
And it's funny. I listed Norway as one of the countries that I wanted to go and show the reality and the differences because Norway is actually, they have the best prison system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And is also one of the least religious countries. And mm-hmm. That put me thinking the relationship between a country's religiosity and its prison system.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's why, and some of my Brazilian friends get angry at me because this is the only time I'm going to mention Brazil because Brazil supposedly has one of the worst prison systems. Mm. We just had like this huge rebellion.
There was a riot, yeah.
There was a riot in the prisons there in the north. And what would happen was people would kill and decapitate people in the morning.
Uh-huh.
There was some case of cannibalism going on.
Oh, my God.
And in the afternoon, they would uh-huh. join in prayers.
Whoa.
So, and when you look at it, the way when you put these countries side by side, you realize that the more religious the country is, the more the prison system resembles something like purgatory or hell because people are sent there to suffer.
I see.
It's a punishment. Right. In Norway and other Scandinavian countries,
they don't have that feeling.
They want to recuperate you. So
they're like rehabilitate you.
Their aim is to rehabilitate. In Brazil,
right.
when you hear that a rapist was raped, like, you know, regularly.
Everyone's like, good.
He had it coming.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
So people actually feel some sort of satisfaction over it.
Right.
You know, an eye
right.
for an eye.
Right.
So this is one of the topics that we're going to, you know, talk about.
Right. Of course.
That's
of course.
Fascinating.
Of
I can't
course
wait
it is.
For this.
You know, now I wanted to, before we get into the conversation and stuff, let me ask you this. Do you show in the film the difference between religion as an institution and faith as a personal thing?
Well, actually, we're not going to dwell into that into the thing about belief. And this is really important for me to make really clear, is that we're not going to debate the existence of God or the importance of religion in societies and everything. I mean, This is very objectively talking about the discrimination and persecution that atheists suffer in
gotcha.
Different levels.
Got it.
Gotcha.
So we're not going to go into that because, first of all, if I did that, I would throw off already a huge part of my potential audience. I don't want that. I want religious people to be able to watch this film
and see what's
not
going
feel,
on.
And
yeah.
not feel offended.
That's
right,
cool.
right.
So I want them to join us because, as a friend of mine told, this is funny. I have a friend of mine in Brazil who he's also a producer and we were talking about maybe he joining in the team and everything. And we were talking for hours.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I said something to him like, well, because we atheists. Said, well, but I'm not an atheist.
Mm.
I said, oh, you're not. And I was like taken aback by it. I'm going to say, well, you don't have to be black to be against racism, mm-hmm. as you don't have to be gay to be against homophobia. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to be an atheist to acknowledge
support
that
atheism.
This is wrong.
Right.
So I've known people that have lost their jobs, their families, you know, over it. So when something gets between a father and a son or a daughter, I mean, there's something really wrong.
So it's as strong as, obviously, like we've seen this recently in politics, that it breaks up families. So you're saying religion can do the same thing, or atheism can provoke, let's say, religious people to discount
you. Just look at what happened with Bernie Sanders, the whole scandal. People wanted to out him as an atheist.
Right.
You know, it's being sure that that would destroy his campaign.
Like that's being a monster.
You know, and mm-hmm. when you look at it politically speaking, I mean, that's the most complicated ground. I mean, atheists are still the most rejected group when you look at in politics. Like, you have a candidate, the candidate is less likely to get voted.
Oh, yeah.
Voters is an atheist. If they score even less than Muslim, and nothing against Muslim. I have a lot of things about Islam, but nothing against right. Muslim. But you didn't have atheists flying a plane or a building in Manhattan.
Right.
I mean, it didn't happen, but still atheists score less than Muslim.
It's interesting because a lot of that is born into the culture. So when you hear a president say, God bless the United States of America, God bless you, God bless, it is in the culture.
Right.
It is in our Pledge of Allegiance
right.
Under God. So there is I always wondered, when JFK became the first Catholic president, it was like this enormous big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when will the first atheist president? That has got to be so far in the future.
Some say Obama was an atheist, but it's still debatable. But it's a good thing that you brought that up, because do you guys know who was the first American, and this is a Brazilian teaching you guys, come on.
I might know the answer. Hey, hold on.
Okay, yeah. Some people do.
American history.
But
here.
Most people don't.
Okay.
Who was the first American president to finish a speech with God Bless America?
Oh, it's got to be recently. It's got to be like Reagan or something.
He wasn't. It was Nixon on his first speech after Watergate.
Oh, wow.
So I've seen that speech. So he's just like, he's on the ropes. He's like,
that's why he said
I'm
it.
Done.
God
and
bless
then he's
America.
Like desperate for support.
Wow.
And he ends up with, and then decades after that, Obama was the first one not to do
right,
that.
And then it's suddenly horrible.
He was,
right.
And he did two things. I think he was his first inaugural speech. He didn't finish it with God Bless America. And in another speech, he said, we're a nation of Christians and Muslim and Jews and non-believers.
And he didn't even say, he said non-believers.
Non-believers. Yeah. This is another subject of the film, which is the fact that people avoid using the term atheist. But we'll get there. Again, it was like this huge, people were going crazy because he included non-believers. So it's very interesting that you point that out, because some people don't realize that it was Nixon in that particular situation, and that became an institution.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think that started with George Washington saying, God bless America. And I was like, no, I bet Reagan or Nixon, one of those guys did it, because it threw it in and now it's a big thing.
Right.
Well,
right.
When you look at how religion crawled its way back, or maybe even more inside politics, I mean, and you mentioned the Pledge of Allegiance, and I mean, in God the trust was already in the currency, mm-hmm. but it only became the nation's motto during the Cold War, just as it happened with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. Under God was only put there during the Cold War. Mm-hmm. In our teaser, we have these kids saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's like black and white. Mm-hmm. It's like,
so they don't
say it.
Wow.
Right.
So it was.
But would you say that the founding fathers and everything came from a religious background?
Yes.
But
they were religious, right? They just wanted religious freedom.
Right. That's the thing. It's like they were religious, but they were fanatically about religious freedom.
Right.
I mean, they literally left.
But I
for
think
that reason.
I know. But what I'm saying is, in general, what they meant about religious freedom is the freedom to not be religious.
That's
too,
what I'm
right?
saying. Exactly.
They
exactly.
were already, they're already running away exactly. from persecution themselves.
Right.
So that's the whole point.
The whole
But now people say that just the sheer fact that they were Christians makes
right
United States a Christian nation, which is not
right.
true.
Like
right.
Thomas Jefferson would be horrified to think of that they put his name in for church and state. He complete Hamilton, all those people, the Federalist Papers,
true.
James Madison, they were like, do not have church and state together.
Right.
It was so clear to
right.
them. And
right.
God, yet people are like, oh, they're Christian. That's what they wanted.
And right. God is not mentioned in the Constitution.
Exactly.
But then when you say that, but he is in the Bill of Rights. I mean, when you compare the Constitution with the Bill of Rights and you say it's the same thing, uh-huh. I mean, Yeah, it's not
very interesting. Because you know? Right. Originally, you're right, Sam. The founding fathers were very much for any type of religious freedom. Even though, let's be honest, they wouldn't have liked. I feel like
atheists,
or Jews, or you know, let's be honest. But the point was that they saw ahead, and in their fluid document, it was written. The whole idea was for religious freedom,
right?
Or not believers.
I need you closer to the mic, by the way, okay?
Sorry about that.
So, no, just to let you know, I didn't want to interrupt you before, but we want to hear you very nice and full.
Sure.
So, but at any rate, okay, so Michael Langer, the movie is called Godless, The Truth Beyond Belief. When did you first think of making the film?
It was many, many years ago. You know, I was always a little bit annoyed by the fact that I could get some people would look strange at me, and you know, and I was raised in a very I went to a very religious school,
really,
in Rio, a Jewish school, and it was one of those things. I mean, God was ever present. I would get there at like 6:45 in the morning and pray for 45 minutes every day.
Wow.
So it was something really present, and to this day I have friends that I knew that they are still very religious, and it just got I don't know. I just reached a point there when I was always really keen on like science and read a lot of comic books. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I started questioning things really early. And so as I grew up, I just became annoyed by the fact that every time I would bring that up, people would get really, you know, defensive and stuff. Uh-huh. But it was only when I learned that people could lose their lives and that, you know, real stuff was, because I mean, it doesn't really affect you that much. Like you could maybe not get a job or something like that, because people would rather
have
some.
It's not dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not dangerous. But when I learned what actually was going on in people's lives around the world, and especially here in the U.S., that it's supposedly a developed secular country,
right?
But also when I learned what was going on in those 13 countries, that there's 13 countries in the world where you can get sentenced to death for not believing in God.
And they're mostly Muslim countries.
They're all Muslim
countries. All of them,
even
right.
though we have countries like European countries, very developed societies that still have blasphemy laws, even though they don't apply it.
Right.
They're not enforced.
It's still
yeah.
there. They don't enforce
it. At least in the people's attitude, it's not acceptable.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, you can get persecuted for so many things. But when you see, for instance, there was a case that really struck me, and I'm trying to get this person on the show. His name is Sanawa Demakaru. He's from India, and you know James Randi here, the amazing Randi. Well, he's a guy that, you know, there's a documentary, a really good documentary on. I'm just gonna make that. It's called An Honest Liar. People should watch. It's amazing. What this guy did here is it's unbelievable. So he basically had a mission in his life to debunk crooks and con artists, right. that, you know, psychics and stuff like that. Anyway, so this guy was in India, and in India they had this Jesus weeping statue, right? So this guy Sanal went there, and he found out that thing that people were like going
worshiping.
Crazy about worshiping anything was actually a clogged toilet from the other. And he had to run away from the country.
Yeah. You know,
if he steps in India, he will get arrested. He's now he's a refugee now in Finland.
Wow.
So
Finland is another great happy country.
Yeah. Yep.
And just for that, huh? Just for being
just
like
for the truth. The truth.
Just for that.
Yeah.
Just for the truth. And it's not like he was trying to, you know, offend people, but they just couldn't live with the fact that they'd be worshiping, you know, toilet water for some time.
Right.
You know?
Oh, right.
That is amazing.
So, and so you got to actually investigate and be familiar with some of the major religions in the world, obviously. You've seen where the trouble spots are. We'll talk about Islam a little bit, although it's not politically correct. But, you know, the truth has to be said.
Well, there's a guy that I interviewed, Faisal al-Muttar, and he actually ran away from Iraq, and he said that the United States now is suffering from Islamophobia phobia.
Right, right.
So people are so afraid to be called, just like some people are of being called a racist, and so they go like the extra mile. And
you don't talk about it because you're afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But at any rate, so your movie stimulates discussion and conversation, and that's
hopefully it stimulates some other stuff too. I mean, I got death threats, and you know, even though I try not to offend, I mean, I'm not set out to provoke anyone or to offend anyone or belittle anyone, but still, some people And I know that I'm ready for that. Some people say I haven't seen it and I don't like it. I know that's going to happen. But at the same time, I know there are some very reasonable people out there. And if they're shown, you know, what's going on, they can stop and think and put, you know.
Right. So what are you saying? I mean, what are you showing? You're exposing in the film that religion is what? It causes more trouble than it helps?
Well, that's my personal opinion, that nowadays it can bring more harm than good. But that's not in the film.
Right.
This is a debate that is going to be very limited to showing what is happening and what we can do about. And not only that, show that the film is very optimistic, because when you look at the data, you look at the facts.
I was going to say the youth.
Yeah, exactly.
The youth are all secular. Yeah, millennials are very secular.
They're going to save us.
Yeah.
Not only secular. I mean, and I say this all the time. I mean, I want to later on do a documentary on this kind of the generational gaps, mm-hmm. because the older generations always look down on the new ones.
I That's mean, true, even right? though, it always
but when
happens.
You look at this generation, and I'm not included, right? Millennials like 18 to 34, mm-hmm. I'm way past that. But I envy these guys, mm-hmm. because their life is so much better. They have everything. And it's, oh, they have it too easy. No, they have it better. People are usually not comfortable looking at what's different. So the music is always worse. You know, the way they dress is always worse. But when you look at history, that's not the case. I mean, we're always improving. And now what we're going to see in the next maybe 20 years, 15 to 20 years, is when you look at the generation that is going to be stepping out of power, uh-huh. and the one that's going to come in, will be coming in, the difference in, you know, behavior and thoughts and, you
it's
know.
It's the opposite.
It's just almost the opposite.
It's almost the extreme opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you look back and what, the, you know, people that voted for Trump, that want to make America great again, that great that they want to go back to is that time when blacks...
I said blacks didn't think it was great. Women didn't think it was
exactly.
great.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was not great.
It's not great for
all.
Everybody. Yeah.
So now, you know, even though you have excesses here and there and stuff, but you have people that are more... tolerant to differences, so they're more skeptical, which is always good. They're not only skeptical in relation to religion, but also to politics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so they have now, and the internet is the source of everything. I mean, the fact that these people, I mean, I don't know. When I was a kid and I wanted to research something, I would have to go to the encyclopedia. We had to buy.
I had the Encyclopedia Britannica. We'd go and look it up.
Yeah.
And now
or go to the library.
Or go to
the
two clicks.
Yeah. So that's why this generation is a lot smarter, I think, earlier on. There's no doubt about it.
But not a lot of retention in this. That's the other thing. Yeah. You have to know that things happen so quickly that people aren't retaining information. So, for instance, Trump supporters forget that we were at war with Russia in Cold War. And they're like, it doesn't really matter about Putin. I'm like, no, you guys just don't remember.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The generation coming up is more tolerant, more accepting. And I think scientifically will make more breakthroughs than any before, because they are more scientifically bound and more interested in that world.
And not only that, information is out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's never been more advanced.
I did a crowdfunding campaign, and crowdfunding to me is one of those, like, it's such a new way to do things, and people have been able to, well, just look at filmmaking. I mean, like 20 years ago, you would need so much money to be able
right.
to, and now,
right.
I mean, so technology is more accessible, knowledge is more accessible, even money is more accessible if you want to, you know, create something. Mm-hmm. So that, it's already changing our society.
Right.
You know, and the only way is up. When you look at the numbers, I mean, people say, oh, it was the violence now and the wars, oh, the ways. No, it's better. You know, when you look at
it. Yeah, we've never been more able to cure a disease ever in the history of the world than
right,
now.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Except that's questionable whether we want to cure disease at late age, you know. I mean, I don't know that we want people to live to be 100.
Well, that's what's,
because they become dependent on society more,
what's
you know.
Interesting is the new generation has a much more tolerant view of euthanasia
yeah.
and having your own choice of making when you want to live and when you want to
but
die.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you know what? The younger generations are always very liberal younger on. Many of them will become conservative later on. But I agree with you in general, if you want to generalize about this
yeah.
generation. But, you know, we can generalize a
there's
lot
not,
about
there's
it.
There's nothing
though.
Wrong about being a conservative, but
right.
the problem is being an asshole.
Right.
No,
absolutely.
That's such a good bumper sticker.
Matter, so. Yeah, no.
Isn't that a good bumper sticker? It's not that you're liberal conservative,
yeah,
you're an
asshole. I don't know. I think there's only a couple people that I still know that support this president. I see feeds on my thing, and they still justify all the shit.
It's getting quieter and quieter.
I'm getting like, man,
how are you doing this?
How do you not see what's going on?
And it's funny because what's really funny that you say that is when you were asking me, like, how come we don't see, like, debates on TV with Trump, anti-Trump? Because so fewer and fewer people are actually standing up for Trump. Right. So
no, I didn't mean for Trump. I said, when we talked about it, I meant conservative against liberal. And
because
I don't see him as a representative of the conservative agenda. Right.
But what's funny is I don't think a lot of people do, because you're seeing. Yeah. And that's why I think also the young people coming up that have generally been more liberal might see conservatism or Republican. They have Trump as the person who's in charge of that party. That's going to lead them very far away from that party, which is not a good thing.
I know. I mean, he pretty much hijacked the party by joining.
He manipulated the whole thing.
But he's doing stuff that they pretty much are excited about, which is like, you know, Betsy DeVos, you know, and what they're trying to do with education, you know, is bringing back God into the classroom. Yeah.
There's no more evolution.
Exactly. So, I mean, they're challenging evolution every chance they have. Now there's a movie that came out on Netflix, and it's good because we're going to be talking about her in our film too, which is the story of Madeleine Murray O'Hare, which used to be considered the most hated woman in America, and she was the founder of American Atheists and the woman responsible for taking prayer out of schools.
Wow.
And this was like 50 years ago or 6 years ago, and nobody talks about her. She was a big deal, but she became this sort of threat to the you know, the American family, the American way of and it was one of the reasons why it started back then, that atheism was this, they started to create this this sea of mud around the word. So now people are afraid of even, you know, saying the word. Now they came up with this, no, I'm an agnostic, I'm a free thinker, I'm a humanist. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. I mean, people forget that the word atheism has a very simple
meaning.
Yeah, meaning, which is not believe in a deity. So if I ask you, do you believe in God? You don't have to come up, but there's knowledge and fellow agnostic. No, you either do or don't.
Right.
So if you say you don't.
What if you think I don't know?
But it's a different question.
I see. Yeah. So what if you say, do you believe in a deity? And I say to you, I don't know. I don't know if I do.
But you're asking the wrong question. You're asking a different question. I'm not asking if you know. I'm asking if you believe. If you don't know, there's no way you can believe if you don't know.
So if I see.
You know, knowledge has to come first. I mean.
But sometimes people think knowledge and faith are two different things.
Okay, but again, that's two different questions. Yeah. So what I'm saying is,
do you believe and do you know?
So if you ask if you believe and you say, I don't know. Well, then you don't believe.
I see.
Right. You know,
but if you say I believe or do you know, those are two different things.
But like blind faith, you know. Sure. But you know the thing, and that's why I brought up the distinction again. I believe in God, but I think religion is in general more harmful than good. So that's what I mean. I believe, but I also know that organized faith. Okay, it can be
again,
detrimental to society.
There's nothing wrong with believing. I don't believe, but I have nothing against people that believe.
Yeah. Right.
The problem is when you try to push that belief onto other people,
as
it's a pain in the ass when atheists start to proselytizing. So, I mean, but again, the problem and the difference, you have to make that distinction is that usually the problem is that when religion comes, oppresses with the hand of the state.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It
becomes political, in Muslim countries and stuff. And it used to be Christian countries as
well. And the United States of America nowadays is the only developed country in the world that can be compared to a Muslim theocracy when you look at it. It's
right.
The one that is the closest to what, you
know. Because we're pretty religious, you know. I mean, there's
no
doubt about it.
We're extremely religious.
Right, as a country.
We will have a gay, handicapped, woman, bisexual president before an atheist. I mean, really, that's like, I'm kind of exaggerating, and I'm trying to be funny, but we are, and what's funny is, to be American, you think it goes in hand with God, and it's the complete opposite. That's if you ever studied American history, the idea is they left England so they could do what they wanted.
Right.
So it's so stupid.
But it doesn't discount the importance of religion.
Not at all.
That's what I'm saying.
But it doesn't
know?
At all. I agree with you. But we are incredibly a Judeo-Christian nation.
Right, right.
Hardcore.
Okay, but the thing is this, because you have to look at our background. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the cultures we came from. And those were cultures that made laws from religion and stuff, you know. And but, you know, I mean, talk about some laws that were created in the Bible that we adopted. I mean, the Ten Commandments has become our law in the Western world,
but
right?
But the Ten Commandments, when you look at it...
It's common sense.
Not only it's common sense, part of it is common sense,
yeah.
And part of it is just bullshit. I'm sorry to say they put in that word, but I mean you should... The Bible said that the child that does not respect his parents should be stoned to death.
Okay, but that was stoned to death back
what
then.
What is the morality in that? I mean, right. what kind of morality do you take from a book that, I mean, you have babies getting drowned.
Right.
You know, I mean, the story of Lot is unbelievable. And it's just one of those things that what I found by talking to people that say about they know the Bible, they don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, they know what they were taught.
And most atheists that I speak to
know the Bible.
Say, I read the Bible. Yeah, that made me become an atheist because
yeah.
The Bible is so full of genocide, homicide, any kind of violence and disgusting things. So, for instance, the story of Lot, which is supposedly the guy that God found in Sodom to... okay, he was one guy that was good enough, so would save humanity and blah blah blah. That's the guy that when two angels came to the city and suddenly, I mean, the town folk decided to rape the angels. What he did? He was such a good heart. He offered his daughters to be raped.
Right.
That's a good guy, right?
Right.
But then later on, well, after his wife turns into Saul just because to turn to look at, you know, the place where she grew up, everybody she knew was getting killed, but only because she just turned back, she turned Saul. I'm not even getting there.
Right.
Later on, when the Lot and his two daughters that he offered to be raped were living in a cave, and he wouldn't allow anyone to get close them. What they did, they get him drunk.
They got him drunk so they can have sex with him.
So he could fuck them.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
What kind of story is this?
Okay, but let me ask you this, though. You pass in judgment on the stories where the stories, first of all, I feel where... we're sort of like more like...
but some people believe it happened.
No, I know. But it was aimed at people that were not as sophisticated intellectually as we are. Right? You had to keep them at bay.
You could not have come from a higher being.
But you had to maintain societies and together. You had to maintain families together in order for humans to survive, to continue.
And I agree that at some point in human history... religion that those scriptures they were useful but that point of history is gone,
right?
We don't need it anymore,
right?
I mean,
so that's why you've grown past that. But you have to understand then at that point when you're this intellectual to understand those stories were just symbolic,
but
they didn't really happen,
right.
No, but when you say all this carnage and stuff in the Bible, I mean what would you want it to be, like not only nice stories, or do you want it's the human experience, it's the human condition to go through all that torture and hatred in the world and the war and stuff. It's a human experience, whether you like it or not. It would have to be in the Bible.
Of course, I mean, human beings were barbaric once. I mean, when you look at
Born chimpanzees. Chimpanzees fight and cannibalize. We're a warring people.
When you look back, like 150 years, 1,000 years, you know, like the beginning of Homo sapiens and stuff like that, people would most of the deaths, most of the fossils, most of the bones that are found, that people died violent deaths.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, so we used to be really violent. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, and this is even more argument towards not believing in a God.
Because you're saying that's back then.
Because that's human beings made that. So why should we worship what was written by human beings in a barbaric age about what was their life back then? Okay,
it's a valid argument.
It's a valid argument.
It is.
But it's a question. You're asking a question and not really giving an answer, but you're opening the conversation. You know,
I'm not saying. I'm not even assuming that I have answers. I'm just saying that what is now in 2017. These sort of things are doing more harm than good.
Yes.
Every good thing that religion can bring to you.
But can you really measure that? Because let me ask you you some of the good things. I've seen that religion does help keep families together.
Sure.
It helps keep people with cultures together to continue heritage of the people and stuff,
totally
right?
I totally agree.
It teaches morality for people, right? Well, okay.
I would disagree.
So, okay, because I know, because you were asking, you were asking here.
Because nowadays you have other ways to get that morality from. I mean, we have developed societies.
Well, Bill of Rights.
Society, Bill of Rights. I mean, tradition, I mean, human experience. I mean, it's empirical knowledge. You know,
isn't the Bill of Rights more or less though based on the Bible and things from the Bible?
Yeah, but what he's saying is empirically known. So even if the Ten Commandments weren't there, you'd say don't kill someone. That's an empirical
thing to
know.
Even in terms of evolution, I mean, it's just, I mean... animals that would cooperate
were more likely
to survive. So it's just like it makes sense that you should
survive of the fittest.
You should not do harm to others, because if you do that, some people call it karma. I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's just
known,
common sense,
just known.
Right? But still, people do it a lot, and maybe more people would do it if you didn't have the law.
Well, some people do it because of the Bible. So some people kill because of their
religion.
In
the name of the Bible.
Right.
So
some.
You don't have anyone killing anyone in the name of nothing, or in the name of atheism, or in the name of secularism. You don't get that. It doesn't exist. What people
That's
would
not
say,
true. I think a lot of murder happens because of hatred, because of mental illness.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with atheism.
But it doesn't have to do with religion either. That's what I'm saying. You know?
So
you know, somebody can go and murder somebody, and to them it's okay.
Love. People can kill out of
no,
love.
No, not out of
but
love.
But I'm
saying most murders happen. Why? Why would you think in murders, like let's say in LA, why do most people die for murder here?
I have no. It could be gang. I don't know.
Right.
It could be. Anything.
I don't know.
It could be
anything.
But that's
maybe
not the
just
point.
People that know each other. No, the point is that that human beings don't have that automatically.
You know what? There's one data that I found really amazing, impressive. Usually the argument is, well, if you don't have God, what stops you from killing someone? If you don't have God, what stops you from raping someone?
Right.
And when if you subscribe to that argument, you just, well, okay, so maybe prisons should be packed with atheists. And you know, there was a survey that came out from the Federal Bureau of Prisons in 2 years ago. You know what the percentage of atheists is in the prison system?
Zero.
It's 0.07%. It's less than 1%.
Right.
So, I mean...
So what about the population? Did you ever measure that or read up on it? Like, what's the percentage of atheists?
It's here. And that's a very tricky question, okay?
But people don't always say what they're
exactly.
Atheists.
Right. People would say, I don't believe in God, but I'm not an atheist. But anyway, what you have now is 23% of non-affiliated and 7% self-proclaimed atheists. Mm-hmm. But, right. I mean, that number, everybody that studies those numbers agree that it should be a lot more. And not only that, you have lots of people that don't actually believe, but they say they're Christians, they say they're Jews, they say they're Muslim.
But they're just by birth like that.
Mm-hmm. Not only by birth, because there's a social price that you pay. There's a social stigma by, you know, getting out of it. I'm going to interview some people now in New York. There's a whole underground atheist community of Hasidic Jews.
Oh, wow.
They are undercover, they are underground, because they know what will happen to them if they come out.
Yeah.
There's one of the stories that we're going to tell in the documentary is about a girl, and she was brought up in one of those Orthodox Jews families. She told them she was an atheist. They turned their back on her, and 2 years later, she jumped off a building.
Wow.
You know, there's a guy that I'm going to interview there. He was a Hasidic Jew. He stopped believing. He mentioned that to his wife. She got a divorce, took the kids. He lost his job. He became homeless.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they have an organization there called Footsteps. That is its sole purpose is to give support to these people because they're
outcasts.
So
it's not like they're selectively like bad people or dangerous to society.
It's
on the contrary.
It's very strange because we've gotten so much less homophobic, so much less xenophobic, so much with the internet, and yet atheism still sort of stands out as like the
one
group.
Some people say that atheists are the new gays, and I've interviewed.
You definitely want their organization because they kill. They
no, and I've interviewed people that said, "Listen, it was a lot harder for me to come out as an atheist to my parents
100%.
Than gay or bisexual.
Yeah.
Now it's okay to be gay, but it's still a problem to be an atheist.
You know, in my school, what we did, we're a very hippy-dippy school in Washington, D.C., right? Very, very progressive liberal. And what we did was we read the Bible from 9th grade to 12th grade as literature. And what we did was we read it as like God was a character. And we could say he was an angry character, an angry God, or a violent God. And you saw it from a different standpoint. We did not know the Bible, but we read it as a book.
As a book,
and
like
I
as
thought
literature.
This was so brilliant.
Yeah, I took that course in brilliant. College. It
and
was
it taught
amazing.
Me a lot. You know, right. I also, yeah.
And when you look at it, he's just a jealous.
Old Testament, he's an angry,
he's an angry,
angry
jealous,
violent.
You know? And not only that, I mean, after all the 10 plagues in the Egypt and everything, then when the Pharaohs, you know, finally decides to let the Jews go, what does God do? He goes, it's written there, I'm not making that up, right?
Right.
He goes there and he hardens the Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
So he decides to go. I mean, what kind of games are you playing?
Well,
you
but
know?
This is, I mean, look, if you get into it, you understand the games and you understand, maybe there's, it makes sense, you know. But look, we're totally out of time, but fascinating conversation.
Yeah, wasn't that neat?
And I knew it would be because you're a very smart man and you've done your research and you've got your opinions and everything. Are you still campaigning for people to help you financially with the
film? Yeah, we did a crowdfunding campaign last year. And now I'm just finishing shooting material, so I'm going to start post-production. So if people go to godlessdoc.com.
DOC, guys, DOC.
Yeah, DOC as in documentary. You can help the film. There's a like campaign, and this we're in this fiscal sponsorship program of the San Francisco Film Society as well. So people that want to help with a tax exemption, so that's possible as well.
That's awesome.
And then there's
a
teaser you can watch, right?
Yeah, it's a teaser there that was done, last year. We interviewed people like Richard Dawkins and Cenk Uygur.
Right, right.
You got to get Bill Maher up in there.
I tried. We're trying. Let's see.
I might have a connection for you.
But okay. I'd also like you to get someone like Dennis Prager, who will show you how important religion is, and he's not a religious person. He's a great thinker.
Well, I've interviewed Barry Lynn, who's the executive director of Americans United for the Separation Church, and he is a pastor. And in Denver, Colorado, now I'm going to interview Gordon Klingenschmidt, who's the state senator for Colorado, and also he's actually featured in our teaser. And he says that the only reason one can be atheist is because Satan is blinding them. So okay. It's going to be interesting.
There you go. And those are the dangerous parts of religion, and we totally have to agree with you on that.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
So, try looking at God. If you guys are confused or whatever, try reading the Bible as literature and see what you think, and as God as a character, and the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. And it's a way to step back a bit if you're interested.
Well, and if you're interested and if you have questions or anything, don't be afraid to go online. I mean, there's so much information now, and not only information per se, but lots of debates that are already going on.
Yeah.
So probably your questions have already been answered, mm-hmm. and in so different ways. So you can see
yourself.
You can see what suits you best. You know what kind of debates or formats interest you the more. You can read, you can watch, you can listen. So the important thing is to get informed.
Yeah, educate.
And then make up your mind.
Sure.
Don't let anyone make it up for you.
Right. The film is Godless, The Truth Beyond Belief, and it asks, can you be good without God? And that's a great question that people have been debating. And you're welcome back on the show anytime,
Thank
Michael.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are talking to Michael Langer. Now, if you want to find out more about him, it's Michael without an H, M-I-C-A-E-L. Last name is L-A-N-G-E-R?
Yep.
Okay, and you guys can find out more about him. Just Google him.
We have a Facebook page as well and a Facebook group, so people can. It's always Godless Doc because Godless was already taken by Ann Coulter. That's a little piece of trivia
serious?
There. Yeah, it's true.
That's ironic.
It is. To say the least.
Well, you're amazing. So when are you going back to Brazil?
Well, I'm going back on the 4th. So from here, I'm going to Colorado and then to New York to interview those people that I mentioned. Then hopefully I'll start post-production as soon as I get some money in.
There you go.
Awesome, awesome. So this has been on a shoestring so far? I mean, have you been financing this or did you get some support?
No, I financed in the beginning. Then I did the crowdfunding campaign. With that money, I was able to do it. I wasn't able yet to go to those countries that I wanted to, like Norway, Israel, Bangladesh, which is a pity that we couldn't talk about it, but it's a very interesting story that what's going on. But I wanted to go to all these countries, but since I wasn't able to raise as much as I originally planned, I just decided to shoot, only in the U.S. and hopefully I can get it,
Maybe not. Yeah, and then once you get this out, you'll get bigger distribution. Hopefully.
Awesome, Michael Langer. Thank you so,
so
much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Much,
it was great.
Much success with your film. Really, I mean,
thanks a lot.
You guys should check out the teaser, and then you'll want to see the movie. When do you think it'll be ready?
Well, it all depends. I mean, I'm aiming for the end of this year, because it usually takes like 5 months or maybe six in the post production, because I want to have lots of
Yeah, that's where you tell the stories in editing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, everybody. Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
Again, congratulations on your show and everything.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.